الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي صدق الله مولانا العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders and brothers, once a person came to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu with his son. And he began to complain to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu regarding the son of his. And he said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that the son is very disobedient to me and is very, very harsh on me and he does not respect me at all. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu started reprimanding that boy, reprimanding that son and began to explain to him the rights of the father. And rightfully so. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ اللَّهَ تَعْبُدُ إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. That way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you should show adab and respect to your parents. You should be kind to your parents. وَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفِّ. You shouldn't even say uff to your parents. Ah, or click your tongue against your parents. That you have so much of adab and respect. Especially a father, he is the door to Jannat. Mother is the Jannat itself. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu reprimanded this boy and was scolding him. But after some time the boy responds and he says to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asks Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, O Amirul Mu'mineen, do I as a child, as a son, have any rights also? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, yes, you also have rights. We all know very well, we all have heard from young days the rights of parents, the mother, the maqam and the status of the mother, and the rights that the mother enjoys. We have always heard with regard to the rights of the father, and the rights that the father enjoys, and that we have to show adab and respect to the parents. But very seldom do we ever take note of the fact that the children also have rights. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, yes, you have rights also. So the boy asked Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that, oh, Amirul Mu'mineen, what are my rights? So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the first thing is that your father must choose the right mother for you. The second right is that he must give you a good name. And the third right is that he must teach you the Quran. The first right, he must choose the right mother for you. Meaning that when it's time for you to get married, you must be very particular who you choose as your wife. Because that wife is now going to be the mother of your children, or eventually going to become the mother of your children. Unfortunately, you find many persons, they are not conscious or cautious when it is time for them to get married. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُنْكَحُ الْمَرْعَةُ لِأَرْبَعِينَ. People get married for four different reasons. لِمَالِهَا لِحَسَبِهَا لِجَمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا فَاسْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ. People get married for wealth, for family lineage, they get married for beauty, and they get married for deen. Fasfar bizati deen, give preference to deen. You must choose a woman who understands deen. Choose a woman who knows the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is particular with her salah. We choose a woman who has an understanding of deen, and one who is particular with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because she is going to be the first madrasa of your children. She is going to be the one that is going to be nurturing and upbringing your children. So therefore Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the first right that the child has over the father is that the father has to choose the right mother for the child. So unfortunately you'll find many a persons when it's time to get married, anyone, or they just made, you know, a very, very rash decision when it came to the nikah. They were not concerned about the dini status and the religious and the Islamic status of the one that they married. And even worse than that is you find those who, what you can say, mess around. And eventually when the woman gets pregnant, then they feel forced to marry her. And then the nikah is made after she's already so many months pregnant. And then the child is born. Or sometimes the nikah is made after the child is born. We don't realize that the child is now, in terms of Sharia, classified an illegitimate child because it was born out of wedlock. And that asarat and that effect remains upon the child for years to come. It's not the child's fault. It's whose fault? It's fault of the father and the mother. And if you want to marry a woman who is prepared to open herself to you before marriage, then what type of a mother is she ever going to be for your children? So you have to be very cautious what type of a woman you choose. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people marry for four reasons, for wealth, for status, for beauty, and for deen. You must give preference to deen. Now, if you chose a woman who understands deen, when she puts the child off to sleep, she'll put the child off to sleep with the kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. She'll take the name of Allah and put the child off to sleep. And as I mentioned, the first madrasa of the child is the mother's lap. It is so sad, so sad. This year, beginning of the year, so many children came to our nursery and our preschool, our grade R, etc. And you'll be shocked, coming from Muslim homes, father Muslim, mother Muslim, the child walks in, doesn't even know kalima. Doesn't even know how to make a proper salam. It is hi and bye. They don't even know how to make a proper salam. Imagine, what does this show? They're expecting the madrasa. Yes, the madrasa will do their job to a certain extent. But at least the basic, the kalima. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when your child starts to speak, the first thing that a parent should teach the child is the kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Or at least the first words that should come out of the child's mouth should be Allah. Should be the name of Allah. Sahal Tastari Rahmatullah Alayh. He was only 3 years of age and his uncle was making his tarbiyat. And his uncle told him that before you go to sleep, say Allahu Nadiri, Allahu Shahidi, Allahu Ma'i. Make the zikr of this before you go to sleep. And from a young age, from the age of 3, he used to make the zikr and fall off to sleep with the zikr. Allahu Nadiri, Allah is watching me. Allahu Shahidi, Allah is witness over me. Allahu Ma'i, and Allah is with me wherever I am. Imagine a child growing up with this yaqeen and this conviction, with this zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many children, they don't know kalima up to now. They will say names of film stars, they will say names of things that they're not supposed to be saying, and speaking of things that they're not supposed to be speaking, singing songs, kufar songs, etc. But the child doesn't know La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Coming from a Muslim home, father Muslim, mother Muslim, coming, they don't even know. At the age of 5 or 6, the child does not know the kalima still. How sad it is. Whose fault it is? It is the father, because he did not make the right choice when he got married. So the first right of your child is that you make the right choice. Well, for those who've already made their choices and they are already in the fix, the way to fix it is start ta'aleem in the house. The way to fix the problem is first thing, start ta'aleem in the house. The second thing to do is send your woman folk also for tarbiyat classes and for Islamic classes, for Quranic classes. We have so many instances where the child, there is nobody in the house to teach the child the sabak. There is nobody in the house that to help the child with madrasa work, because the mother doesn't know how to read Surah Fatiha herself. She doesn't know how to read Quran herself. So if any of us have family in the home, have wives or any female members of our home, we should make an effort so that they understand deen, they learn deen. Start ta'aleem in the house, that will give that encouragement, and eventually inshallah they will go to learn deen and they will go to have a better understanding of deen. So the first right is for you to choose the right mother for your child. The second right is to give a proper name, to give a good name. Let us understand that the name is something that belongs to you, but everybody else use it more than you. Your car, you'll use it more than everybody else. Some of them will never lend a car to anybody else too. Your clothing, your house, etc., that you know you use most of the time. But your name is something that belongs to you, but everybody else uses it more than you. And in the home, the mother is calling you by the name, the father is calling you, your brothers are calling you, your friends are calling you, the teacher calls you by that name. Now the whole day you are called by your name. And imagine if your name does not have a good meaning. Just as an example, if for some reason your name has a meaning like sadness or grief. So whole day somebody is calling you sad face, hey sad face come here, oh sad face come here. One person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu Hazrat Musayyib radiyallahu ta'ala narrates this, and he says that my father came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, what's your name? He said, Hazm, which means, you know, hard-hearted and rough, tough, like, you know, and hard-hearted people. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, your name is Sahal, easy going and soft natured. So he said, I will not change the name that my father gave me. Because he wanted to, out of adab and respect for his father, he didn't want to change that name of his. So Hazrat Musayyib radiallahu ta'ala who says that for generations there remained hard-heartedness and roughness in our family. It remained for generations on end. Therefore, when you're choosing a name for your child, you have to be very particular. When the mother is pregnant and expecting the child, already from then onwards, there should be tilawat of Quran, there should be punctuality on the salah, etc. Because all that has an effect on the child. When the child is born, the first thing that needs to be done is the azan should be given in the ears. In the right ear will be the azan, in the left ear will be the iqamah. That is why it's important for the fathers that they should know how to give azan. And they should find out, you know, your child is to be born. Go to the ulama and find out what are the steps that we need to take. When the child is born, the first thing that needs to go in the ear of the child, so that it settles in the mind and the heart of the child, is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest, Allah is the greatest. That is why we give the azan first. So the azan should be given in the ears. And alhamdulillah, you find some of our Muslim doctors, if there's nobody around and they know it's a Muslim child, alhamdulillah, they give the azan in the ears. But the father should take make the effort in order to learn the azan, or at least take somebody. So when the child is born, bring the child so that the azan can be given in the ears. So the first words that will enter the heart and the mind of the child will be Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. Then thereafter you'll make tahniq. It is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You put something sweet. Normally they take khajur, the inside of it, the soft part of it, and you place it on the palate of the child. It's got a lot of even medical benefits also. It's a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which unfortunately many people don't know about. That is why it's important, go to the ulama. Anything happens in your life, every stage of your life, you need to go to the ulama and find out how should we carry this out and what are the sunnats and what are the commandments of Allah regarding this aspect of my life. Then after the tahniq comes the aqiqah, which is on the seventh day. How to know exactly which day to make the aqiqah? Simple. If the child was born on a Sunday, the aqiqah will be the next Saturday. If the child was born on a Tuesday, the aqiqah will be the next Monday. If the child was born on a Friday, the aqiqah will be on the next Thursday. On the seventh day, you'll make aqiqah. For a boy, it will be two shares in a big animal, or two goats or two sheep. For a girl, it will be one sheep, one goat, or one share in a big animal. That also you can find out from the ulama. And then after the slaughtering of the animal, after the aqiqah, which you can distribute the meat to friends and family and the poor, etc. Then you will do the shaving of the hair. The hair will then be weighed, and equivalent to it in the value of silver, you will give it out in charity. Could be about 100 rand or 50 rand or 80 rand or whatever it is. You can find out the silver price, and accordingly you will distribute that to and give out in charity. And by the seventh day you will confirm the name. You can fix a name on the first day, or you can fix the name on the second or the third day, but by the seventh day the name must be confirmed. But one very important aspect in the naming of the child, it is the right of the father to name the child. It is not the right of the grandfather or that auntie or that granny or that sheikh or that peer sahab. No. They can recommend a name. They can suggest a name. But the right of naming the child is the father's right. It is not the right of some uncle and some auntie. Unfortunately, this custom amongst us, that if the grandfather didn't give the name, or the granny didn't give the name, then they will not want to, you know, speak to the parents, or they will not want to even bring a gift for the child. They will stay away from it, just because he didn't give them the opportunity to name the child. That is not your right. It's not the right of the father, I mean the grandfather. It's not the right of the granny or the auntie to insist that they want to give the name. It is the right of the father. Actually, it is the right of the parents. Husband and wife between themselves must decide on an appropriate name for the child. And when there's a difference of opinion between husband and wife, then the final decision will be the husband. A father has the final right and the final decision in the naming of the child. And therefore, the father must be very particular as to the type of name he chose for his child. Choose the name of Anbiya alayhi salam. Choose the name of Sahaba. With this intention, inshallah, they will live up to that name. When you give a good name to your child will live up to that name. So the next right of the child is that you give a proper name to the child. You choose the correct name. It comes in the hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. Slave of Allah and slave of Rahman. Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. So other than that, any other name, but let's be particular. Don't just choose a name because it's some film star, some soccer star, some disaster, whatever it is. Don't just choose any name, you just feel like choosing. Be particular, go to the ulama and ask them, can I take this name? Does it have a good meaning? Is it in keeping with the name of some sahabi or some nabi of Allah, some prophet of Allah? Or is it in keeping, you know, is it a good name to keep? Let us go to the ulama and find out. Imagine the whole life your child is being called by a soccer star's name, by a film star's name. What will the child grow up to be? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized many sahaba's names. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed their names because the meaning of the name was not good. And he has emphasized that you should keep good names. And Nabi, in one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, give good names to your children because on the day of Qiyamah they will be called by their name and by their father's name. Fulan ibn Fulan. so and so, son of so and so. They will be called by the name and the names of the fathers. So give your children beautiful and good names. Then the third right which Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned to the boy is that your father needs to teach you the Quran. He needed to teach you the Quran. So the boy said to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu that my father didn't fulfill any of my rights. He chose a mother for me. In other words, he married a woman who was a slave girl of a Majusi, of a fire worshipper. Meaning thereby that she knew nothing about deen. She was very weak in deen. So she didn't give me a proper Islamic upbringing. As far as my name is concerned, he didn't give me a good name, the meaning of which was not good at all. And as far as teaching me Quran, he never made no effort in order to teach me the Quran. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala left the son and began to reprimand the father. He says, you deserve what you are getting from your son. Because you didn't fulfill the right of your son, how do you expect him now to be respecting you and fulfilling your rights? You didn't teach him deen. So my dear respected elders and brothers, this is the beginning of the year. The year has started. MashaAllah, many, many parents scrambled to find the correct or the very good school for the children. You know, especially those that have moved from area to area, or perhaps your child was going from primary school to high school. So you were scrambling in order to get a space and a place in the best school. But how many of us were scrambling in order to get a place for our children in the best madrasa? That's the last thing that is on our heads. Not realizing that that should be the first thing on our mind. Because when we leave this world, a child who was a student in high school, if he did not know deen, he's not going to come and read Surah Yasin for you at the Qabr. He's not going to be sending any Isal al-Sawab for you. Whereas a child, he probably failed in school, but he knew Quran and he knew deen. He will be there at your Qabr every week making Isal al-Sawab and reciting Quran and making dua for you. So it is important that we teach our children deen and we find a good madrasa for our children and we do not keep them away from madrasa. Also very important is that many parents, when the child has finished primary school, now going into high school, so they take him out of madrasa. And they say, oh, no, now is enough for that. Now he needs to concentrate on school. He's going to high school now. So he needs to concentrate on school. But now, there are many aspects of deen which the ustad and the apas, they cannot teach a child when the child is in grade 2 or grade 3 or grade 4. Like for example, hayz and nifas. Hayz and nifas, unfortunately many women folk today, they don't know the correct procedures and the rules of taharat, etc. and regarding hayz and nifas. How can the apa teach a child that's in grade 2 and grade 3 regarding hayz and nifas? Now when she's in high school, and she needs to learn the rules, and she's experiencing hayz and nifas. Now the teacher, the apa, can explain to her what are the procedures and what is to be done and how the ghusl, etc. should be done, how her days need to be calculated, etc. But the parents think, no, school is more important, they take the child out. A person, how can we teach a child in grade 2 and 3 the rules of zakat? In zakat, there's calculations that need to be done. Especially Kitabun Nikah, the book on Nikah. Many of us unfortunately don't know the rules of Nikah. That is why there's so much of problems. We don't know the rules of talaq and divorce. Now when the child is in high school and is of that understanding age, where the ustads can do Kitabun Nikah, they can do Kitabul Hajj, they can do about talaq, etc. and explain to the child these rules when he's in high school of that age. But the parents feel, no, he needs to be taken out and he must now concentrate on school. Why? Because matric certificate is so important for us. But so sad, so many of them with this matric certificate are sitting at home, no jobs. But we gave so much of emphasis on that. But in the process, we have destroyed our children and we have kept them away from the basic knowledge of deen and the basic commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of us, let us make this niyat and intention that we will not leave our children behind. And we will not keep them away from madrasa, and we will make an effort to send them to madrasa, even up to matric. And yes, there is a syllabus. There are some parents who think that there's no syllabus after primary school in the maktabs. We have a full syllabus right up to matric. We have right up to matric, and there's so much that the child needs to learn. There's so much that we need to learn. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.